What's up, everyone? You are once again in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast, and we are welcoming you for another thrilling edition of the Backseat Sports Podcast. We're going to talk about a classic World Series, a thrilling national championship race shaping up in college football, and we're going to introduce a little segment we like to call Offense and Defense. James, final thoughts on a World Series that you predicted correctly.
I did. I predicted 7 games, Cardinals, home field advantage, and I'm basking in my glory over here.
It was incredible. I think you might remember I was getting a hold of you on Thursday night when Game 6 was showing all its beauty. The ninth inning, it's hard for the objective sports fan to not feel pretty bad for the Rangers. They've been there 2 years in a row now and, you know, bested by some National League teams. But the ninth inning, up by 2, and Texas blows that lead and then blows another two-run lead in the 10th inning. And I keep coming back to this, and you've heard me say this already. The ball that David Freese hit, the triple in the ninth inning, if Nelson Cruz had been in his home stadium as a right fielder, he knows how close that wall is. He wouldn't have done that awkward squat jump where you think you're going to hit the wall, and he would have gone back about 2 feet further, and he would have caught it. The series would have been over in 6.
Well, Nelson Cruz isn't exactly a gold glover either. And I think that it's about time that somebody emails Hallmark and tries to get some kind of I'm sorry card based on these Texas Rangers now. But look, can I just play devil's advocate? Because I know a lot of teams are kind of, a lot of people are kind of feeling bad for Texas.
Right.
And I don't feel bad for Texas. And I think that they did this to themselves. And I think last year they just got beat by a team that was hotter than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything was stopping the Giants last year. This year, they completely imploded all over themselves.
Well, the Cardinals were pretty hot.
I don't feel sorry for them. Well, but look, the series was in their favor with 2 games to play. They had 2 outs, 2 strikes,
twice.
2 times.
Yeah.
2 different pitchers.
Right.
And they absolutely imploded all over themselves.
And, you know,
it's their own fault.
And every now and then you see, and for some reason you see it in baseball, I feel like more than other sports, you see a series where that, you know, in game 6, someone's always leading 3-2. You know, like someone always comes into game 6 leading 3-2. And you see the team that was leading blow the game somehow. And they, and in baseball, you don't take any break. But you have to play game 7 the next night.
I knew it was over.
And you see these teams come back to the stadium the next night and the energy is gone. You can't mentally turn yourself around in a matter of hours like that. You need that day in between that you have, like in a basketball or a hockey series. And you saw it with the Cubs, with the Steve Bartman play in I believe that was 2003. When they lost that game to the Marlins at Wrigley in Game 6, there was no winning Game 7. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but who feels sorry for these teams? Like, when did it become like, we lost Game 6, so we have to lose Game 7 now? No, just go win Game 7.
No, yeah.
Just do that, and then you're okay. No one remembers Bartman. No one remembers the Game 6 collapse if you win Game 7. And once again, I think that the Texas Rangers are never going to want to have a 2-run lead ever again, because they had a 2-run lead to begin game 7 also, and they blew that. So it's like, what can you do? And by the way, their pitching is now only going to get worse because CJ Wilson is not going to return there.
Yeah, and you saw the same thing with the, I believe it was 1986, the Buckner play, the Red Sox
and
the Mets. Game 6, it was the same thing. That was Game 6. The Red Sox weren't going to win Game 7 after that play. So it's hats off to the Cardinals. We had talked about Tony La Russa, I think, in episode 1 of our podcast. Mm-hmm. And this is actually ring number 3 for him. He won one with Oakland. And so, you know, an impressive career. And, you know, how much more left does he have to prove? I mean,
nothing. I mean, he doesn't have to prove anything. I think that what he might want to do now is prove that he can go in with another team, because that's what he likes to do. That's what he likes to do. He's not really a lifer.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that, you know, when he was with Oakland, and he's done some nice things with some franchises that aren't traditional powers.
Right.
The Cardinals are a traditional power. Right. They haven't.
World Series title number 11, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. And but, you know, with Oakland and some of these other teams, I think that it would be nice to see Tony go to a team that's not a traditional power and see if he can work his magic with another low-budget team with players that are outcasts from other teams. I mean, he turned Lance Berkman into an all-star this year after what was he was in the abyss last year. He was in the abyss that is the Houston Astros franchise, right. The abyss. And then he went to the New York Yankees and was awful for them and right. Didn't help them do anything. Yeah, I mean, look, hats off.
Any chance that he can pack his car up and drive across the state and take over Kansas City Royals and make them worth something?
Can he pack up his car and drive to Philly and take over that team? Because Charlie Manuel is asleep at the wheel. Charlie Manuel has been asleep at the wheel for 2 years.
Well, that kind of, you know, I mean, look, like I said, we are impatient as sports fans in our nature. And we already, the World Series has been over a matter of days. We already have to look to next year. Who should be the clear? I mean, look, baseball is a long, grueling, that 162-game schedule is a grind. But who should be the early favorite for the AL? I mean, you're not going to go chalk and tell me Phillies and Yankees.
Yeah, here's why baseball is baseball, and it's not football. And that's why it's second place. Is that you already know before the season it's going to be the favorites are going to be the Phillies, the Yankees. Then you're going to have everyone every year who drools all over the Atlanta Braves and says young pitching, timely hitting, they're going to be there. It happens every year. It's not a surprise.
Well, and then
sure, the Cardinals are going to be up there. The Giants will be back. They need to get a hitter. They can't do what they did this year and try to hit play wiffle ball. They're going to actually have to hit, but. But yeah, it's going to be the same teams every year, and just like every year, it's not going to be the Phillies and the Yankees in the World Series. It's going to be the two hottest teams in baseball in the World Series, and that's what it's all about. I think the season's too long, and you get
And someone's going to be out by 57 games in September or August or you know something like that. You see it every season.
Look, this World Series was a good World Series, and I think that it did something for baseball because. There's no basketball right now, and more people were watching than typically watch, so it was timely.
Very good ratings.
It was a timely World Series for Bud Selig.
Very good ratings. Off the top of your head, and don't give me the 2008 answer, what has been the World Series you have enjoyed the most as just an objective baseball fan? Because this was a good one. This was a good one to watch, and it got better as it went on, you know, as it should. For me, what comes to mind is the 2001 series. Of course, it ended a little later after a few weeks off because of the September 11th. They took about a week and a half off there. Diamondbacks and Yankees, not a traditional power in Arizona, but I think that one went seven games. So much emotion when the games were at Yankee Stadium. That was a great series. So
I like that, and I also remember. I think it was 2003. I think it was Marlins Yankees.
Was it Marlins and Yankees?
I think it was Marlins and Yankees.
Yeah, it was.
Because the Yankees had, I think they had, isn't they, Kevin Brown?
Well, and that was a classic. It was Josh Beckett still pitching for the Marlins then. Marlins, look, they're a farm team for the AL, actually. They're, you know, that's their speed right there. But all in all, a classic World Series, one that will be remembered a long time. And, you know, we can't wait to see what happens, next summer in the MLB. Get in touch with us, Zach and James, at the Backseat Sports Podcast by emailing us at backseatsports@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at @backseat_sports. That's on Twitter at @backseat_sports. All right, Zach Diodati and James Troiano still in the backseat with you on the Backseat Sports Podcast. A big Saturday in college football, the national championship picture becoming a lot clearer. An epic game between USC and Stanford may have ended a little too late for a lot of viewers out there, but final score 56-48. Stanford in triple overtime there at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. Andrew Luck goes 29 for 40 for 330 yards and three touchdowns. One pick, a pick six in a tie game with only minutes remaining. That was a really dangerous. We tweeted last night. He could have thrown the Heisman away there, but he comes through big in overtime. Is he your Heisman leader so far?
He's got to be your Heisman leader, and I think he did it on purpose. He was like, What would make my Heisman chances increase if I throw a pick six and then I have a dramatic comeback in triple overtime?
Listen, we got an email last week. And again, you can email us at backseatsports@gmail.com. Any questions or comments? We got an email from a guy named Mike, and he's a Dolphins fan, and he asked if Andrew Luck can save his lowly Dolphins. This guy is just he's something else. And, you know, you've seen a lot of these type of quarterbacks coming out of the college game recently. The big guy that can run and can throw as well. And he's just a leader. And I looked at the way he's talking to his teammates in the overtime session. That David Shaw that took over for Jim Harbaugh, he doesn't have to do anything. I didn't even know who their head coach's name was. That's Andrew Luck's team.
Right. It's just one of those things where you just know the whole time that Stanford's going to win that game. You don't think for one second that Andrew Luck is not going to win this game against right. USC. And when it went to overtime, when he threw the pick six, I was like, "Ee." But then you just figure that he's going to, right. to make the plays that he needs to make because he's so much better than the competition mm-hmm. that everything looks routine and it's going to be, I can't wait. It's going to be it's going to be must see TV when he gets drafted.
Yeah.
Team's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see to what level of play he elevates a team in the NFL.
It's one thing to say, oh, that guy's a beast. I mean, he's so strong. He's so fast. No, this guy's a real beast. For anyone who hasn't heard him talk or who has not been able to catch up on him because he's on the West Coast and he comes on late at night, Aaron Andrews comes up to interview him after the game. They do a close-up. I swear this guy's beard goes up to his eye sockets. I'm not even kidding you. They do a close-up, and this guy just looks like the abominable snowman. And then Aaron Andrews, you know, hey, you know, great game, what happened? And he just says, oh, Aaron, I told my team we needed adversity. Adversity, nom, 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 more adversity. And he's out of control. He's something else. It's just, he's an absolute beast, a man of a man, you know. He's still got 1 year of eligibility left. That's a sickening thing.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's everything that you would drool over as an NFL coach.
Right.
He has all of the tools.
Right.
He's well spoken off the field. He's off the charts smart.
Yeah.
And he is
Stanford.
Going. Yeah. Stanford.
Right.
And just listening to him talk about the game,
mm-hmm.
the way that he calls it in the huddle, it's brilliant. And he's going to make an NFL team very lucky, and I think he's about as...
he's going to make a team yeah. lucky.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm being serious over here, okay? It's not cool. But look.
He's going to make a team lucky. Well, you know, and it was a great cap to a big Saturday in college football. Kansas State, wow. A contender or pretender at this point in the season? Pretender.
Yeah,
they got drilled by Oklahoma. I believe it was 58-17. Clemson goes down on the flats in Atlanta. And, you know, we tweeted last night, Clemson couldn't afford that loss. With that ACC schedule, and granted, they beat Auburn, Florida State, and Virginia Tech all in a row. That was impressive. But when you're in the ACC, it's undefeated or nothing if you want to get in that BCS mix. And not only did they lose, they didn't look good. They scored 59 points 1 week and then come back and, you know, ended up with 17. And they just, you know, they can't afford it. They're done now. I mean, they looked great. And hats off to Dabo Swinney. He's doing a great job over there bringing in some elite talent. But they couldn't afford that loss. Kansas State couldn't afford to lose the way that they did. And now the national championship picture is getting a lot clearer. To me, it is down to the winner of the LSU-Alabama game, which, let's face it, they're going to go undefeated. Whoever wins that game, undefeated 13-0 SEC championship. And then the winner of the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma, the Bedlam game, I believe that is the last regular season game for those two teams. And now that the Big 12 doesn't have a championship game, that's it. That Bedlam game it will be the Big 12 championship game if everything goes according to plan. And then you've got Stanford. You've got Stanford lurking on the outside. And honestly, I think at this point, it is almost safe to say that the BCS championship is going to come down to one of those five teams, LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Stanford. And this brings us to a segment that we like to call offense and defense. And once a week, we are going to take a team or a figure in sports that we are either in favor of the offense or against the defense. And we're going to provide both sides of the story for a said team or figure. And tonight we're going to talk about the BCS championship in this national championship race, the contenders and the pretenders. We're going to address a few teams out there that are gunning for that date in that title game in New Orleans in January of 2012. Right now we're operating under the assumption that the winner of the LSU-Alabama game is going to go undefeated, correct?
Correct.
And we're looking at a few other teams out there that could match up with whoever wins that game. The first up is Stanford. I'm going to go ahead and provide the offense for Stanford as if they need any more. And honestly, what this reminds me of, if you think about Stanford matching up with either LSU or Alabama, it reminds me of the potential NBA Finals a few years ago when the Lakers ended up playing the Magic, and everyone wanted to see the LeBron-Kobe Finals. Who wouldn't want to see the two best players go against each other? So what I want to see, Stanford, potentially in the BCS game, I want to see Andrew Luck, the best offensive player in the country, going against either of the two best defenses in the country. That would make a dream BCS game. Stanford and Luck have already proven that they belong in, and they're going to have to play teams like Oregon on the way out. I have no beef with their strength of schedule.
The defense for Oregon against, all you have to do is look at that Oregon game Saturday, November 12th. They're going to lose that game.
Oh, God.
And it's as simple as that. You look at what USC did to them. They were able to run the ball pretty effectively, throw it timely when they needed to. Oregon is going to run all over this defense just like they did last year. It's going to be same story, different verse for Andrew Luck and Stanford.
And if they do, you don't believe a one-loss Stanford belongs anywhere near the BCS game.
Nowhere near the BCS title game. Nobody wants to see that. Get them out of here.
All right. Well, speaking of nobody wanting to see, the next team up is Boise State. James is going to provide the offense for them, and I'm going to provide the defense. The Boise State Broncos frequently flirt with a shot at the national title game. The offense for Boise.
Here's all I have to say about Boise. I don't need any numbers. I look at the team and I say, put them in there. That's all I have to say. They've been one of the best teams in the country for the past 3 years. And I want to see him play. I want to see him play against LSU or Alabama, and I want to see if their defenses can stop Boise State.
They play in the Mountain West Conference, and if Utah couldn't get in 2004 and teams that have gone undefeated, and Utah did the same thing in 2008. They went undefeated there. That schedule is just bad. Boise State just came from the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference. They lost to Nevada last year. That's just really telling. If you can't go, I understand that they play some tough games. They played Oregon a couple years ago. They played Georgia this year. They need to schedule a few more. If they're playing 8 conference games, they need to schedule 4 poor big non-conference games. The schedule is just indefensible, and it's just you can't play teams like Nevada and play that kind of schedule and play that kind of talent and expect a shot at the BCS game. The worst thing that could possibly happen to college football is that we get Boise in one of these games and they just get destroyed. It would be a disaster.
Defending Boise State's inclusion into the national championship game is like trying to defend Casey Anthony in that trial. Except
wow.
Except I failed miserably. They obviously won the case.
Wow.
There's a lot more reason to argue against Boise State, I think, and there's not a lot there for.
Oklahoma is our final team on the offense defense segment. They a terrible loss to Texas Tech last week. They come back with a vengeance, destroy Kansas State, who was previously undefeated, and they're right back in the thick of it now. I'm the offense here. James is the defense. If Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State to finish the season, and they finish with one loss, I don't need to see anything else from them. Landry Jones goes for 505 yards against Kansas State. Oklahoma was my preseason pick for the national champion. I got to stick with them now. Oklahoma, Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU, either one of those is another great traditional matchup for the BCS championship game. And again, if they beat Oklahoma State, who, you know, will likely be undefeated when they face off in the Bedlam game, you got to put the Sooners back in there.
Here's why I don't agree that Oklahoma will be in the national title game. And that's because of that Oklahoma State game. I think they lose that. And Oklahoma State will be undefeated with a win over Texas Tech, who previously beat Oklahoma. And the reason why this is so great is because this is all dependent on the other teams. And this is dependent on Stanford losing, because Oklahoma State right now is ahead of Oklahoma. So if they went out, they're in the national title game, hands down. And they have to do that to beat Oklahoma. So that's the great thing about all this. These teams have to play each other, and it's going to be great to watch. And that's the defense for that.
That is offense and defense between me, Zach Diodati, and James Troiano. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the coming up week in sports. We're all in with football now that the World Series is out of the way and the NBA really not giving us much help. And we're going to give our predictions for the game of the century, as they're calling it down in Tuscaloosa, the LSU-Alabama matchup coming up next. Get in touch with us, Zach and James, at the Backseat Sports Podcast by emailing us at backseatsports@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at @backseat_sports. That's on Twitter at @backseat_sports. All right, I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to watch for this coming week. Again, they're calling it the game of the century, LSU and Alabama. LSU at Alabama, down in Tuscaloosa to be specific. And we're going to go ahead and give our predictions. We want to hear yours also. I have to go with the Crimson Tide. Two reasons. The best player on the field, Trent Richardson. And the best coach on the sideline, Nick Saban. James.
I think I agree with you for all the same reasons. I think they have equally talented, equally NFL proficient defenses. I like Alabama's offensive consistency a little better with the quarterback situation and, of course, the running back. Like you said, best player on the field.
And, Alabama's at home.
And Alabama's at home. And I like Nick Saban in all of these games every time.
And I still stand by the idea that it could be a one-score game. I think it's going to be a classic. I think it'll live up to the hype. But in the end, I got to go with the Crimson Tide. Again, we want to hear your opinions on the game of the century. LSU at Alabama. Once again, email us at backseatsports@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at @backseat_sports. That's on Twitter at @backseat_sports. See you next week.